Tonight, we'll get a Chicago sports breakdown from Mark Carmen. Then later, we'll catch up with another pretty late favorite as Todd Belcour joins us in studio. And finally, Rich Lenkov has a breakdown on the Supreme Court nomination. All that and one half of our favorite long-distance couple, James Vickery, ride sidecar right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hi, I am. I'm so glad you're here. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but maybe like you, like me, it's been a little stressful for the last few days. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. And even if everything has been hunky-dory for you, I want everyone to do me a big favor. Just right now, just take in a deep breath. Just a slow, deep breath. Hold it for a second. Notice where you're holding any tension, any strain. For me, it's my left shoulder. And just let that breath out. And here's the thing. That breath you took is gone. That air that you drew in is never coming back. That was a moment that we both just had. And, you know, that air is, it's, what are you going to do with the next breath? What do you want to do? Do you want to slow down? Do you want to hold on to anger? Do you want to be anxious? We all have a choice right now. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to meet the next breath, the next moment? And I'm telling you this because I was in traffic today and for no reason at all. There wasn't a song on. There wasn't a commercial. There wasn't anything that happened around me. I just felt like crying. I just was hit with this overwhelming grief. And I realized that for the last few days, I've been really sad. And we've been talking on the show for weeks, for months about, you know, why. We've been asking questions about a lot of different topics. And we've been asking why. And I think that the fact that we can't understand each other sometimes is making us frustrated. Because I love having conversations, you know? I worry about so much stuff all day long. I worry about my family. I worry about paying my bills. I worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or when my son gets older. I worry about a lot of things, but I love having conversations because I love talking things through. I like hearing what other people are going through, what their thoughts are. And I like talking to you. I like talking to my friends, to strangers in the grocery store. I'm sure I annoy people in elevators and in cab rides. But I like to talk to people. I'm curious. I'm interested. And I want to know what you're thinking. It helps shape my opinions. It helps shapes what I think. It helps shape my fears and hopes. And sometimes it shapes my anger, and that scares me. And I think that we are all, so many people are so angry right now, and we're having a hard time remembering what we're hoping for. And we also, we actually are all in this together. We forget that, and we don't admit that. We have more in common, and we don't talk about that enough. You know, the loudest and angriest voices have been dominating the news, and that includes ours. We've been angry. We've been confused. And we all have our reasons. Everybody has their reasons as to why they're angry. And we all have our own truth. And part of that is that we want to protect what we hold most sacred, what's most dear to us, our lives, the people we love, how we live, and that's everything. That's everything. It's different. It's scary to see what other people are mad about. We don't understand. And that's the thing. We keep saying, I don't understand. I don't get it. Why do they behave that way? We keep saying that. We see people posting things on Facebook and we get mad about that. We unfriend each other because we don't want to see it anymore. Change and different is hard. And what's even harder is asking ourselves, what can I do? Yeah, I'm angry and I want things to be better. Who doesn't want things to be better? Everybody's talking about, I'm going to do this. I want there to be more jobs. I want there to be more money. I want there to be better healthcare. Who doesn't want those things? Can we at least agree on that there's so many things that we do want for ourselves, for the people that we love? And at some point, we have to stop yelling or even asking why. I have to stop asking why, Craig. I have to stop asking the people why because they have their truth and I have mine, and we have to accept that. You know, but the only thing we can say is, what are you, you know, why would you vote that way? We keep saying that. Why would you vote that way? Why would you behave that way? Why are they acting like that? And we end up getting more angry about what they're doing. And we're not asking, what can we do? What can we do to make our own lives better? What can we do to make the lives of the people we love better? What can we do to make our neighborhoods better, our communities, our cities? That's where we have to start instead of asking why. Why do they have to do that? It's so annoying to me. I hate that. They're such animals. They're such assholes that we say that about other people. And yet the thing is that we do that because we want to protect what we hold most dear. What are we going to do? What are you going to do with that next breath? How can I help the people around me? That's what I want to know. How can I help? We've actually talked about having a segment. How can we help? What do you need? Because here's a truth that I've learned a long time ago when Declan was born, and I thought that his disability was my fault. And a nurse told me, it's not about what you've done. It's about what you're going to do. And as I raise my boys, one of the things I try to teach them is you can't always control the things that happen to you or around you. You can only control how you react. That's it. That's all we have. I have to keep reminding myself. It's not like I live like that every day. I make mistakes all the time in my relationships, in the things that I do, the actions that I take, in my opinions. I know that. I tell you all the time. I'm coming up with my opinion as we're talking about it. I change my mind constantly, and I go, oh, that's a good point. And maybe I don't say it out loud. Maybe I don't share that with you. But I try to adjust. We all have to adjust to each other because we are really all trying to do the best for ourselves and for the people we love. We all have to check in. We have to learn from our own mistakes. I have to do that. And I want to know, what will we do? What will you do? What will I do with that next breath? More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for being here. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have up in news is Rob Martier. Esmeralda Leon is taking care of your traffic. Craig Collins is running the show in the producer's booth, and he'll be the person answering your phone calls. Oh, we lost her. I don't mean that. That sounded terrible. Oh, Catherine, I was looking forward to having a conversation with you. James Vickery joins me live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Catherine, if you want to give us a call back, we are here. You can text us as well. I know that was a little bit different, and I told Craig that I was really nervous opening the show that way. But James, you've been in Los Angeles for the last couple months, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, I don't know what it's been like out there, because I would imagine... I would imagine there people are afraid to have political conversations because you never know who's in the industry.
Right.
It's so weird. Like here, I'm in a restaurant or in a bar and we have, you know, these conversations and I go, I have to go now because I don't know how to have. But you've also been on, you've been on Facebook and watched from there.
It's a weird time, right?
Yes.
Like no one kind of, it's like you don't want to approach things because you don't know where someone stands It's hard, even for me. Like I think about that a lot. Where like I don't want to be judgmental, but if someone says they're voting one way or another, I immediately
shut down.
Yes. And make so many judgments.
Yes, and I think that that's, you know, obviously we've addressed that as a problem for years, and maybe it's just sort of there subconsciously, and we just go on and you know then it becomes locked in. That,
right.
Oh, that's them. This is me. This is my world. I even have relatives that I disagree with politically. They do horrible things besides that, but.
Right. And that's separate. Yeah.
It's a separate thing, but it shouldn't be based on what they believe in and why. And the way we formulate. Yes, Craig?
I have a few quick texts actually for you if you
want.
But you should finish your point.
No.
For, okay. From the 815, Patty, worry is interest paid on a debt or bill that may never come due.
Okay.
So that's one thought. From the 847, wow, that was a pretty heavy way right out of the box to start the show. Sure made me stop in my tracks and think, thanks so much, Tom from Palatine.
Hey, Tom.
That's
awesome. I didn't mean, well, and we'll go light, I promise.
Yeah.
I was in my car and I was like, I don't feel good. I just want
to. I loved your intro.
Nothing.
From the 312, wow, Patty's taking the Blackhawks loss hard.
It was. You know what's funny about that? The last goal that was scored against us, I was kind of like, oh, and I had to change it. I had to change the station from my own station. I'm like, I can't listen anymore. I was a little emotional.
I loved your intro. I listened to a little thing out there in the green room, and I will tell you, it's such a great. It's one of those simple. But not things of the idea that everyone basically wants the next day to be better than the next.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of afraid of things changing.
And this has been the alarm bell, I think, throughout the ages, is that they're taking something from us, or this is different, and why does it have to be that way? My dad used to do that. My dad was so bad with change. You know, he would drive down the street and he would see, like, you know, the neighborhoods that he grew up in.
Right.
You know, he'd miss the trolley tracks and he would say, well, it used to not be this crowded, or you know what used to be over there. And now, you know, and But at the same time, he also seemed to have an appreciation. He was great at personal interactions.
Mm-hmm.
He was that same way. I learned from him to just have small talk wherever you were and just kind of, hey, it was that feeling of like we're in this together. But he would still be angry about why does it have to be this way? And instead, it's like, well, what can we do? We Black Lives Matters makes people angry on both sides,
mm-hmm.
right? But one of the things that I remember when those protests started, you know, people were very angry at Rahm Emanuel, and it was mind-boggling because we had just had an election months before, and I would love to go out and find out how many people participated in making sure that we had a mayor who was held accountable from every level,
mm-hmm.
from every decision that is made, and that includes how neighborhoods are policed. And we had a choice. We had a choice last April. How involved were people? How involved were the protesters on both sides, whether it was Trump supporters or protesters on Friday? How many of them have been involved? Because we just found out. I heard earlier today, by the way, this is I heard earlier today that when it came to voting yesterday, that there was a bigger turnout on the Republican side. And I want to know what kept them home in other primaries. There was a 48% increase amongst Republican voters yesterday. And was it to vote for Trump? Was it to vote against Trump? You know, were Democratic voters actually taking a Republican? And the fact that I was even going down this rabbit hole of like,
right.
why was that happening? Well, I was like, why this? It should just be, we believe this. This person represents me.
Right.
And it shouldn't be like, well, you're a jerk because you disagree with me.
I know.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. It's exhausting, isn't it?
Really like,
it really is.
But I did think about like, you know, we keep saying that person or they. Well, what are you doing? What am I doing? Right. What am I doing that is? And part of it is I'm contributing to the chaos and the anger by challenging people to, you know, defend themselves when you should just be able to believe that.
Yes, until a point, though, like, because if your beliefs start to infringe on other people's way of life.
Absolutely.
That's where it starts to get a little like, oh, well, yeah, I have to say something.
But then the people who are being infringed upon have to be aware. And that goes
right.
to like, what are you going to do then? They're saying horrible things that you don't like. Well, violence isn't going to be the answer.
No.
The answer is to be proactive, to contribute. In whatever way that is, whether, again, helping your neighborhoods, being a better example, voting, asking questions, going to meet your legislators, find out what their plans are. Go. Craig, we have got to get our field trip together for Springfield.
Yeah, we're just going to steal the fan van.
We're going to call it the horseshoe.
That sounds cool.
The Texas toast with the loose meat, possibly. I don't know. Is loose meat the best way?
I don't know if that's the way you
describe
that.
Loose meat's never attractive.
It is not. Like, it is nothing appetizing, appealing.
About loose meat. Yeah.
Just don't write horseshoe on the van because then people wanting to go to the casino will try to get on.
That's a really good point.
Okay, FYI. Unless you want them.
All right. 312-981-7200. What, can we get horseshoe casino? No, they're not going to
sponsor. Why don't we just write horseshoe and get some people on and then just take them where we want to take them?
They think they're going to the slots.
Right. They'll get mad, though, when they realize they're in Springfield.
Yes.
Yeah. They think they're going to the casino.
But it's they'll have an opportunity to be educated. And who won't get upset by that? Who would get upset by that?
And participate.
Yeah.
People who want to play the slot.
We'll stop at the casino on the way back.
We'll throw change at all of them, Esmeralda.
I think that would be exciting.
So yeah.
Not like, what's the light? Like dimes. Dimes don't hurt as
what
much as quarters.
What if we created like a fake slot machine and then it actually shot out a ticket to Springfield as the reward?
Oh.
Like, yay!
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's actually...
Shoots out ballots.
Now that is Chicago.
I know.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy about my little paper thing.
Not getting
I did
a sticker?
Electronics.
Yeah, everyone had these cool stickers and
outside
stuff.
Outside of Chicago. So
right?
that's not because they were, yes. As Esmeralda said, we can't have what?
Nice things.
We can't have nice things. Because voters were just putting them on walls and windows.
Oh, see, that's why.
And janitors and landlords were getting angry at buildings like the one that allegedly Craig was voting at yesterday, someone's apartment building.
Yeah, I went to an apartment complex.
Really?
I really don't understand that whole thing.
I voted at an open bar.
Oh, nice.
At like 7:30 in the morning.
That sounds great.
Southside, baby.
Southside, doing it right.
Right?
Yeah. Now, is it weird that there's a lot of places to vote are churches?
Yeah, let's talk about our
weird
experiences.
I just think it's odd because it's like separation of church and state, right. And then I'm in a church voting.
Is it weird that I had to vote naked?
Right.
Well, I mean, that was just you. That was on you.
That was at my apartment.
Talk about your polling place. That's just wrong. Pretty late. Chris wanted to comment on the beginning of the show. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Excellent. You, Patty?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing a little better. I got that off my chest, I think, a little bit.
Well, it sounded great, and it made a lot of very stimulating thoughts go by, and one of them was, I just wanted to share with you, is that I don't let anyone determine what my attitude is going to be.
Right.
Because, we have no control over what people, places, or things.
Yes.
And it's a shame because we have two men in this state that are stopping everybody else.
Right.
And they're supposed to be servants of the people, and they're not.
And that's the thing, is that, like, I people go after one side, they go after the other side, and I agree that it is both of them, and how long has one been at it? And I'm like, I can't answer that for you, and whose fault it is? What next? What are we going to do, Chris? And that's what I have to, like, I have to just relax. And by the way, I just got a text from a friend of mine. Robbie says I need a hug, so I'm going to hug James. Chris, I wish I could hug you. I don't know if you're a hugger or not.
Absolutely. It's the only way to go.
Air hug.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you again soon. Right now, it's time for our news, which is sponsored by DeKalb Harley-Davidson. Here is Rob Martier.
You know who I think needs a hug?
Who needs a hug?
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
let's see how he's doing.
Yeah, Senate Majority.
I would rub him on the head. I give him a noogie. Can I give him like a little wet willy?
He might need a noogie, too.
Noogie. Oh, that means that Mark Carmen's on the line with us. Hey, Carm, how are you doing tonight?
Patty, how are you?
I'm okay. Can you do me a favor? You and James and everybody hold on one second. I have a big, I have a big happy birthday to send out to one of our good friends of the show. We want to say hi and happy birthday to Cindy Small, who is celebrating her birthday today. I was given her age, and I don't think it's appropriate to share that on the air. So, Cindy, we wish you a happy birthday and a speedy recovery, because I know that you're not spending your birthday where you would like to. So, happy, happy birthday, and it's been a pleasure to know you, and I look forward to seeing you again. Carm, when is your birthday, by the way?
My birthday is August the 11th, Patty, and I can't wait for the party that you're planning for me.
Well, we are going to have a joint party because my birthday is 6 days after yours. We are Leos, rar.
I'm a Leo, too.
Rar.
July 25th. Rar.
We run the world, or at least we should.
We think we do, yeah.
I'm a Scorpio.
You're a Scorpio?
That's actually accurate.
That's appropriate for Halloween, isn't it?
Right.
That works.
All right, good talk.
Well,
I feel really great about my birthday now.
I think it's actually appropriate that that I've only traveled significantly with the two Leos that I have on the air right now with me.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yes, Carm, James Vickery, who is also a comedian, has traveled in a similar situation that you have experienced. He and I had a drive, actually, to Columbus, Indiana. But I'm pretty sure he picked up on things that nobody else has ever seen before.
I can tell you the main thing.
What's the main thing?
I've never been with a person, and I've traveled with a lot of people. I've never been with a person who could just eat dessert for every meal. I didn't think it was possible. I had to cry uncle. Like, I can't have a sundae right now.
I'm sorry, Carm. You didn't get that experience.
Yeah,
I didn't, but that's a tremendous experience and one that I completely support. And, James, I mean, honestly, I'm jealous. I've never gone roadtripping. I mean, just going through the airport, though, and going to multiple headphone stops in different terminals. I don't think that's ever been done before by anybody in airport history. But, I like to do a road trip with you sometime, Patty. That'd be amazing.
We'll do a road trip. Well, Columbus, Indiana, for one thing, is a really sweet and charming town.
It is.
In Indiana, and I'm trying to remember the Zeca.
It's a complicated name.
I can't pronounce it, but it's this amazing old soda shop, Carm.
Yeah.
That has old fashioned like Green Rivers and root beer floats and just these huge sundaes and
awesome to visit once. Amazing.
You're
three times gets a little like I just need. Food.
He's saying that three times in 24 hours might have been too much. Yeah, that might be it. But yes, I was. So, Carm, how was your voting experience yesterday, by the way?
I voted in the Lincoln Square area at Old River Park, and I was there around midday.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in. There was nobody there other than me, maybe two other people. I voted and I was out. 3 minutes, done.
Wow.
Yep.
Nice.
That seemed to be the case. There must have been just a saturation of polling places in Chicago, right? Because the precincts are divided throughout the city. Because in the suburbs, it sounds like there were long lines, there were different kinds of conversations. Mm. But in Chicago, it does seem like that was the case. Carm, James Vickery voted at a bar at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, I did. It was on the south side. It was on Archer Avenue. Close to Midway, and I walked in. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and I walk in, and there was a bartender, and he pointed to the back where there was the polling place.
How did he know you weren't there for the first draw off the tap?
You could just tell because I kind of like stopped in my tracks because there was no one in there but one bartender, and I was like, am I in the right place? And he's like, oh, it's right back here, and I start to walk toward the back, but as I'm passing him, I'm like, is the bar open? And he's like, yeah, it is. And I regret I did not get a drink. And why didn't I not?
Carm, I mean, if your polling place is a bar, I mean, how do you not just have like a sort of a celebratory
right.
cocktail? I know it's 7 a.m. It seems wrong.
So you should have a special when you get your little receipt. You get a
you get like a shot. Yeah.
If you're not going to get a sticker, you may as well get a drink.
There should be an election day. There should be $1 mimosas and maybe like $2 bloodies.
I think that sounds fantastic. We're going to work that out next year. Can you tell us the name of the bar?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Guidies. Yep, on Archer Avenue. I'm sure people have heard of it, and it's open early.
So here's the thing, Carm. James voted at a bar. Craig voted at a retirement community apartment building type situation.
Yeah. Would you vote at?
I voted at an elementary school.
Okay.
We were talking about the weirdness of it. There were kids, there were little girls running around with Bernie signs. There were like 7-year-olds like playing, I don't know, Sink the Bismarck or something.
Really?
With the Bernie signs. It was very strange. Did anyone, we've agreed on this, no one else played Sink the Bismarck but me.
No one else really knows what that is.
Don't know what it is.
Don't know what that is, no. Yeah. I'm sure it was a great game, Patty.
Is it like Battleship?
We've explained it before. She's referenced it on the show. Patty really likes this game.
My childhood is just...
No, go ahead. What is Sink the Bismarck?
No, I'm not going to... No, you know what? I'm going to take it from texters. 312-981-7200. I have a gift card from Apt Electronics.
Oh.
Tell me what...
You are not the only one that knows about this game. The texter is going to get this right.
They make me feel crazy every single time, which is not that hard to do. So, Carm, we're feeling a little crazy tonight because the Blackhawks had another loss tonight.
4 in a row, huh?
Say! Let's not say it like that. It's
just factual.
Like unfurl it like that. Yes, Carm, it's been 4 in a row.
Yeah, it has. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on, though. Don't worry about the Blackhawks. They'll be fine.
There you go. Done.
But here, we've got – let me hit you on where I think you'll find some real interest. Number one, you know, there's a law now in Illinois, no smokeless tobacco at your public venues. So,
including – yes.
So Chicago Cubs and Chicago White Sox baseball players and those visiting teams as well will not be able to have the dip in their mouth.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. So, they're going to be dipping because they can't vape?
They
can't do either.
They can't do either. There's no smokeless tobacco. You can't.
No smokeless.
You might as well.
Like, I didn't know that.
Shouldn't be baseball then.
Wait. Okay. I thought smokeless was vaping, but I mean, how do you know that it's tobacco and not chewing gum? I mean, I know that it's in their front.
I mean, right. And then how much are they going to really pay attention and enforce it? But. I mean, it was a big conversation today. Miguel Montero, Cubs catcher, he loves to smoke with tobacco, and he's been trying to quit forever, so he says that maybe this will help him. But, I mean, this is a big deal. Whether it will actually really be enforced will be interesting to watch. But and we're not the only state that's done this, California and a couple others as well.
Wow.
So,
they can have Big League Chew, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I say they all have Big League Chew. When they're busted, they just pull out this big wad of bubble gum. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Madden was speaking out about it, saying, like, look, I think we should be educated on what's good and what's not good. But if my player wants to have a little dip, then he should be able to have some dip, which I would agree with, actually.
Yeah,
I would, too.
I always thought the public like the smokeless tobacco issue would be more for the safety of others, for the exhalation or whatever. But is it the spitting? How is
that? Is gross. Not in a baseball game, but like when people in your real life like have that little cup next to them and they're just like spitting into like
I had a bunch of friends on my high school baseball team though, and they all saw it on TV all the time, and maybe they grew up with it, and so they all
dipped. You're saying is an influence.
Yeah, I think that's the reason that we're trying to get it out of the game, is that we don't influence kids that when they get to a certain age, they start doing it.
Okay, so it's the same thing as letting it happen in movies. Have they regulated movies as well? Because theatrically, this is what we were told, because there are a lot of comics who use smoking as part of their bits. James, mm-hmm. You're younger. You don't remember how many comics.
Right. Like, I can't imagine smoking.
Tom Rhodes. I mean, there were so many comics, like part of their bit was lighting up on stage. I would imagine that professional baseball players, I'll bet you it could go under entertainment and therefore escape the clause or any sort of regulation. I'm just saying, Carm, if you want to tell
have him talk to Patty.
tell Madden, I got you covered. I don't know why I'm encouraging this, but still.
Right.
Well, listen, I mean, if you want to do danger to yourself, and right. I mean...
And it's a legal substance. It's actually a legal substance.
You can do it. We all have bad habits, right?
Yeah. No.
No? I mean, no we don't.
Not at all. Don't look at my browser history.
He does not. Mark
Carm's trying to, like, he's trying to put all those ideas together at once because he's seen me in satin pajamas. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by James Vickery, and Mark Carman is on the line. Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
Patty, I'm doing great. I got one more sports issue for you. You ready for it?
We have an issue? Yes, I'm ready to get down. What's the issue?
Are you following along what's going on with the White Sox and Adam LaRoche?
I am not following along.
I just heard about this today, of course.
Because I'm not a Sox fan, I guess. That's
okay, so Adam LaRoche is a longtime baseball guy. White Sox signed him last year to a 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. His first year with the Sox, he was atrocious, hit .207, struck out 130-some-odd times, and was just maybe their worst player on the team last year. His kid, Drake, who's 13 years old.
Oh, yes. I heard this in passing today. Continue.
Yes. So his kid was around the club all the time. Like, he would shine, you know, like he would shine the cleats. He would do all the dirty work that clubhouse guys do. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. And he was very well liked around the Sox. But the White Sox decided that, hey, we're trying to win baseball games. And we had a terrible year last year. And by the way, you weren't that great either. So it's not good. We don't want your kid to come to work every day. In fact, we don't want your kid to come to work every other day. From there, you know, he's welcome to be around, but, you know, 1 out of 4 days, something like that. So Adam LaRoche was like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to retire, and left $13
million. $13
million. For his kid. Look, I have charming children, and I do. I mean, but people can't be themselves around a 13-year-old kid.
And listen, I don't have kids. I would not see my kid again for $13 million.
That's the thing. Yeah, I don't understand. Was there any comment? Like, that wasn't in his contract. They didn't owe him that.
No.
He just wanted him to hang around with.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, like, look, Karin, when you and I were in San Diego, I actually had someone post on Facebook that she mom shamed me that we have different ideas of quality time with our family because I was in San Diego hanging out with Marines. And I assure you, I spent plenty of time with my family. I didn't even get into a hot tub with Marines.
Right.
I was not like, okay, maybe
that's like the ultimate
sacrifice.
Not
the first time. The second time I did. But
you waited two times to get in.
It wasn't all cavorting and hanging out with Marines. It was a lot of work. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that we all have our sort of priorities when it comes to family. And Adam LaRoche has chosen his 13-year-old child to be a priority over the rest of his career, is what you're saying.
And, you know, look, that's his right, I suppose. I mean, he's made a ton of dough. And if he's, you know, remotely qualified as, you know, not spending through it, he probably doesn't need $13 million. But, you know, you can do a lot of good for the world with $13 million if
right.
you want to go that way.
You know? Do a lot of good for your 13-year-old.
For your 13-year-old. And if I understand right, he's not – the kid, he isn't in school and stuff, right? Like he has a tutor or something. That's how committed he was to him traveling with the team.
Mm. Right, right, right. So I just find it kind of fascinating. Well, first of all, like, it doesn't seem like, Patty, you just said that – you know, you can't be the same around your kid.
No.
With a kid around. But, like, in this scenario, it seems like the Sox, the players themselves, actually really didn't care. But management did. So that's kind of a little interesting.
Well,
they do have a lot
said,
of new players, too.
I would maybe. Say, well, and I would say that the players may have said they were cool with it. But management would probably be hearing from some of them going, dude, there's a 13-year-old in the locker room.
But I mean, honestly,
I wouldn't like that. Yeah.
Let's all be serious for a second. Baseball is not supposed to be fun. You're not supposed to have children around for
right.
things like baseball. That's ridiculous.
But, well, not a lot.
Wasn't
of...
he working?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
he was doing stuff like an intern almost.
Yeah,
at 13, which is illegal labor.
Right. Yeah, but it's free.
Child labor laws. I mean, right. there's a reason.
I mean, couldn't they give
it's
him
a
like
volunteer?
A, couldn't they throw him a fiver every once in a while?
It's a locker room of a Major League Baseball team. Also, we're not talking about, you know, the floor of a Walgreens. Like, I can't, like, really, is that a place for
but
a
is
kid?
He out there, like, in like, hey, I'm a kid, I'm bothering you, training.
And he can provide for
like,
him.
What is he doing, though? I'm just confused by why I think management's just blaming, they're trying to find a scapegoat.
Is that possible, Carm? They just want to get rid of him?
Hmm. Well, I'm sure the White Sox are probably, at the end of the day, thrilled if they don't have to pay Adam LaRoche $13 million.
That's true.
What else can we do with this money? Hmm. Maybe they'll hire another 13-year-old.
Clean cleats.
Get the one from that movie that had the arm.
Yeah.
The kid could do that. Yeah,
did
fine.
She just explain Rookie of the Year?
Yeah,
the
well,
kid with the arm.
Well, you know why? It's in our consciousness because
Rosenberger.
Nick Giglio hung out for a week with Gary Busey, who was in town filming
right.
that movie.
Right.
So Rowengartner.
Well, and he was a kid.
And there was a kid.
With a good arm.
Yes.
Very good arm.
Henry Rowengartner.
It was after an injury, though. That's a whole other story.
You know what? We've been talking, Carm, Craig and I have been talking about having a podcast for possibly like the military movies. We also, maybe we need one for sports movies. Because I've never seen Sandlot. Which
oh, no, why? Oh, yes, we need to see that. Yes. Sorry.
Or the Rookie
I reacted
of
the oddly
or
the first
or Rookie
time.
Of the Year.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Do you
I like
have
Rookie
to
the
see
year.
Rookie of the Year?
No.
Really?
No. That wouldn't be as required
Sandlot,
as Sandlot.
Yes.
Have you seen Angels in the Outfield?
No.
You know, it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh,
so
what's the Matt LeBlanc one?
With the monkey?
Yes.
Best baseball movies, Bull Durham.
Yes!
100%.
Right.
Yes.
Major League.
Yes.
The Natural.
Correct.
All these... Sandlot's the most overrated baseball movie of all time.
Oh, it is.
What
Let's
is?
Take a break. Let's take a commercial break. He said something negative about Sandlot. Let's take a commercial break.
I've never seen
you
it.
You have to take a break.
Because John Heffern
he's
wanted
so
to pack
right.
his suitcase.
He's so right.
More after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Carm. I guess we're done, unless you want to hang out for some more. I wish you were in studio. We're kind of sad you're not here. Maybe next
I time. Miss you guys tremendously right now. If I could be myself there, I would. I didn't realize it was such a party night.
Well,
big
not,
party
I was,
night.
Yeah, so it's huge.
A,
yeah,
anytime I'm here is like kind of a party night.
Carm, we have Funyuns.
Yeah, exactly.
Again?
Again, I have more Funyuns. Rob Martier, I have Funyuns.
You can't have Funyuns without fun.
Are yeah. those the new steak-flavored Funyuns? I saw them at Walgreens today.
Are there steak-flavored Funyuns?
Yeah.
All right, then. Yeah. Carm, by the way, we were laughing about what it's like to travel with me. I just want people to know that Carm is the only person I know that reads like tennis magazines.
Interesting.
I knew it.
There was, and I only bring that up because on Nightline there was a piece just now on a tennis ace, and I wasn't sure if you'd seen it, but I'm guessing you already know about that guy. I don't know.
I didn't see the Nightline, but I did just get my recent tennis magazine in the mail, Patty, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, April the 8th, John McEnroe, James Blake, Jim Courier, and Andre Agassi will all be at the UIC Pavilion, where I believe you were last week.
Doing what?
It'll be a little less rowdy, and it's a little seniors tennis, and you should come on out and have a great time.
You should protest.
Wait, what day is that on? Can I go with you? Let's go.
Yes, it's a Friday.
Next Friday.
April the 8th, so a little bit of, you know, a little bit
right.
down the line.
I'm in. Count me in.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right.
We'll live feed that somehow. All right. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by comedian James Vickery. James, you're Irish. Are you not?
I am part Irish.
Good, because I booked you for a show at the Irish Heritage Center, so I was kind of hoping that you were Irish. I didn't even. Did you like how I didn't even ask you, are you Irish?
Right, you're like, you're Irish,
you.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't say that. I just said you're on the show. July 8th, James Vickery, Jeannie Dugan, Jimmy McHugh, Sean Flannery, and myself will be performing at the Irish Heritage Center for Irish Fest, the Irish American Heritage Center, IHAC.
That's a fun show.
It's I don't even know how they let me do that.
Right.
I don't even know. I didn't even ask everybody, can you do an all-ages show? James, can you do an all-ages show?
I can.
All right, good. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I definitely can.
And I'm sure Jeannie can. I've seen her do Nick's Mom's Night Out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Sean Flannery. I know Jimmy McHugh can.
Sean's, I mean, because he does the drinky shows.
The drinky blackout diaries.
Yes.
Yes. I haven't, I booked him sight unseen. I met him in line at a funeral, so I assume he's a good human being.
He is, yeah.
We were at a funeral. Craig, I tell the story the night it happened. We were in line at a funeral for a good friend's father, and the guy in front of us, his phone rang. And if your phone rang when you're in line at a funeral, what's your first thing you would do?
Frantically turn it off.
Yes. Craig?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Esmeralda?
Same.
Mm-hmm. This guy answers the phone and goes, yo, no, I'm at a funeral. No, I'm almost done.
I'm almost done.
Sean Flannery and I were standing there, we're like, is this happening in front of us? Somebody asked me on Facebook if I'd ever seen someone take photographs at a funeral. Have you seen this? This seems to be more common now.
Like selfies with the coffin?
By the way, as much as I enjoy taking myself a selfie, I've never been like, hey, we both look good. Who wore it better? Yeah, I'm not doing that. I've never taken a picture at a funeral.
That's good.
Yeah, my basis instinct is to like take photos everywhere I go. I did not do that.
Wait,
that
was the other thing. With people?
Well, people are taking pictures at funerals, but they are taking pictures of the deceased in the casket.
Oh, no. Because I've done that because the only time we see family is when someone dies. So we took a picture in the lobby. In the graveyard.
Okay.
By a tree.
It's good light.
It is.
You're outside.
Natural light.
Exactly. Everyone's dressed up.
We're all in black.
We're not going to see each other for a long time.
Slimming.
It is very slimming.
By a tree? Did you make sure that there weren't, you know, like tombstones?
I mean, they were everywhere. What are you going to do? Most were flat.
Does anyone frame that photo after?
Well, we weren't aiming at the ground.
Okay.
Right. It's a grassy,
hilly
look,
area. There's me and Aunt Eliza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patty, by the way, I always appreciate, Patty was at my father's funeral, which I appreciate. And I spoke at it. And one thing I appreciate that you said was that you thought I should have gotten more laughs at what I said. Yeah.
Well, as comedians, because people are nervous.
Right. People they're expecting something to be.
Because what you and I want to convey, when my father passed away, I did the same thing. I told stories because you were talking about your dad and his relationship with the priest in your parish and his relationship with the socks and how he would pray for the socks.
Yes.
And there were some really good memories there that were charming and amusing and deserved a bigger laugh.
I thought I should have gotten a bigger laugh.
That was a tight crowd, James.
It was a tight crowd.
I mean, even for a funeral crowd, that was a tight audience. Mine, I may have gotten a little more graphic at my dad's funeral. I was the only one that spoke at my dad's funeral. His sister, my aunt, who is a nun, did some of the, we didn't do it in a church. My dad had not been in a Catholic church for many years. His point was, why do I got to confess? Can't I just keep that between me and God? Why do you get in the middle?
So that was a strong point.
Yeah. So he didn't have a parish, really. He was Catholic. But I decided he didn't ask for a mass, and we had done all the arrangements before he passed away. And I had talked to my aunt, Arlene, which, by the way, that's a name that must have a comeback. That's a great name, Arlene. And it has to be Aunt Arlene. I think that every baby that's named Arlene.
Your name should be Aunt Arlene.
Aunt Arlene. But so she gave a beautiful ceremony. She read all the appropriate passages. I was not raised in the Catholic tradition. So I went up and I was telling stories of my dad. And you know, there were some moments that I think people were uncomfortable. Because when we went to the Grand Canyon, my dad created this bit about mule piss. I'm sorry, mule pee? But he said the mule other pee. Word. He said the other word to be historically accurate and, you know, to be true to the story. He used the other word. And I decided to be also accurate in my telling of the story. He said that he found that it helped grow the hair on your arms. And that was, it didn't go over well, James. I'll be very honest. It's not going over well now. I can feel it.
I guess it's a tough audience.
But he would tell it all the time. I mean, there were other stories that there were so many dirty stories that my dad would tell.
Right.
That I didn't do at his eulogy. But that seemed to be the most tame one I could
share. I will, to this day, use one of the jokes your dad told you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this guy calls his wife, who works in a factory. This one?
No.
What's the other one?
The guy.
The cemetery? No.
Nope. He's engaged to a woman, and then she has a very attractive younger sister,
mm-hmm.
who likes him,
mm-hmm.
and shows up one day at the house, and it's just the sister there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'm gonna tell it. And it's just the younger sister there, and this guy's hanging out with her, and she's kind of flirty. And he's getting all nervous. And then she goes upstairs, like towards her bedroom. But as she reaches the top of the stairs, she takes off her underwear and just drops it down the stairs. And he's like, oh, my God. And like goes out the front door just as the father and his to-be bride come mm-hmm. in. And they're like, oh, my God, you passed the test. That was... I can't believe
also,
you passed the test.
Also not good at a funeral. Right?
Exactly. And then
yeah,
the
not
moral.
Exactly good funeral material.
And of course, the moral of the story is that you always keep the condoms in the car.
They were in the glove compartment.
Right.
Is that the first time this joke has been told on this show?
No, I told the story on the air.
Okay. I feel like that's when I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, cool.
It's an old story. My dad loved that story.
It's great.
Yeah, he loved that one. There were so many. There were so many dirty jokes that, like, as I got older, my dad would tell me. The one that he enjoyed, I was actually on a payphone. That's how long ago it was. I was at UIC in the theater department. I was a grad student, and my dad goes, "Hey, you're funny, right? You're pretty funny. You're gonna like this joke." So this guy works at a factory, and he calls his wife. He's had an accident. He goes, "Hey, I had an accident. I'm at the hospital, but don't worry, I'm gonna be okay. I lost my finger. I went right off, right in the machine. Just got caught in the gears. Just ripped it right off." And she goes, "Oh no, oh no. Was it the whole finger?" And he goes, "Nah, the one next to it." More after this on 720 WGN. Little Top Gun. That's another movie we're going to do for our Semper Film podcast.
Well, and you guys, with your jokes that were maybe inappropriate for a funeral, you were going into the danger zone. You were playing with the danger zone there.
I didn't do either one of those. The mule pee joke, my dad made that bit. He had two bits, and he actually had props for one. When my father passed away, he had this beautiful wool coat. It's actually Irish wool, mm-hmm. so we'll talk about that in a moment, about St. Patrick's Day. My dad had several pieces of clothing that he prized, and one was his wool cap, his wool coat, anything that was Irish wool he was very proud of having. But when he passed away, I actually wear that coat. It's a little boxy for me. My dad was, he was a little shorter than me, and, you know, it's just not, it doesn't fit my form, but I love wearing it. It is kind of luxurious, the inside.
That's awesome.
Of it. Oh, it's beautiful. But it has inside pockets. And I reached into it, and one side, it was a bunch of unclaimed tickets at Arlington Racetrack. And so it was a bunch of, you know, all the bets he'd made in the last year of his life.
Perfect.
And on the other side was a wine cork. And when I pulled, both of them made me, and they're still, by the way, my dad passed away in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those pockets are still filled with the original items. His dresser is also still filled. The top drawer has everything as he left it.
I just can't.
Understandable. We've gotten rid of everything else, and his dresser, his car was hard to let go of. I gave it to Cars for Kids, by the way. Have I ever mentioned that, Craig?
100
cars for kids. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. But so the cork was actually, and I can't do this. I don't think it's, I can't figure out a way to make it radio friendly. But my father, in the last year of his life, before he was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer, he worked at Home Depot, and he was actually more in the plumbing section. But, you know, anyone that's got an orange apron, people see them and they ask questions. And there was a gentleman who had, let's say, an accent that was of an Asian flair. Mm-hmm. And the guy was at, he came up to my dad and he kept saying, my dad, because he was in the plumbing section, had, you know, only one thing in mind when the guy said he needed some, cork. He needed
I'm
some
so
cork,
curious.
Right?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yes. And my dad kept making
He needed cork.
Cork.
Got it.
And he kept saying it over and over.
Some cork.
But that's a little Jersey. But uh-huh. The way it was sounding was a little bit more inappropriate for radio. And I can't do that. It's like a rooster. And he kept,
right.
My dad kept making him saying it over and over again, which made him laugh. He was basically making him say that word.
He was asking for cork.
Yes.
Right.
Got no, it. Actually, no. My dad thought he was asking for cock.
Right. He was asking, where can I find some cock?
Cock.
He thought.
Is there any cock available
here?
It
turned out to be cork.
And who, oh. And who doesn't need that?
Wow.
Well, there was cork flooring at the Home Depot.
So he just needed a good amount of cork.
He had a little trouble with his R.
Got it.
But there were three, my dad kept going through the three different pronunciations of a similar C-O-C-K kind of sound.
How big was the cork he was looking for?
Thank you. James was like, you just spelled
did
it.
Did he have the dimensions of the cork?
I was like,
cork?
Can we spell things? I didn't know that was a thing.
Hey, if I can do it to my four-year-old when he was little, I can certainly do it on the air.
I'm just curious how many inches of cork he was looking for.
He was looking for footage, actually square footage.
Oh, got it.
Of,
okay.
Of cork.
That's crazy.
So my dad had this wine cork in his pocket because my dad was.
Oh, he took one out.
Yeah, and he would show people. He goes, he meant cork. Not cock or the
cock.
Other. Or the, cock.
Yeah, the other thing.
Cock.
Yeah. Cock. Oh, God. I don't think you should keep trying. Eventually, that's going to go bad.
That was my dad. So now maybe
that's so funny.
Listeners have a little more understanding as to who I am as a human being.
What's really interesting, you know,
and why I have the brain of a 12-year-old boy. Go ahead.
And my dad also passed away. He was not a comedian or a performer in any kind, but the way he interacted with the world, he had his bits.
Yes,
like he had jokes.
What was his background?
He was a baker. That was it.
Well,
nothing.
So customers all the time. Like my dad is a cab driver.
Right. He would interact
Small
with people
talk,
working.
Keeps them coming back. Yeah.
And he would have these few, and I'd heard the same things over and over. But clearly that influenced me as a kid. And he was funny.
Yeah.
But he would say things looking for a reaction, you know,
exactly.
Which isn't typical of everyone.
No.
Like you don't realize
we're a little needy
that.
Is what you're saying is we're a little needy.
Oh, yeah.
My dad total. Was.
Yeah, yeah, we're all.
He well, or they like. They love the reaction of someone laughing.
It's a way to connect with people.
I just making people laugh is just fun.
It is fun.
And weird.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you get that, you're like, oh, I did that. I
exactly.
made that reaction happen. It's so much better than making them cry, which I've also done. Which is a different sort of thing.
What is your favorite person that you can make laugh? Is it a baby? Do you like making a baby laugh or no? Is it
it's
adult
a challenge.
Person better?
I do.
Babies are tough.
I've given up on
babies.
Babies
are tough.
Yeah,
I've
they don't
up.
Do political.
No. Not a lot. It's really hit or miss material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the wall, Great Wall of China,
right.
Yay or nay in the United States?
What kind baby, of this is my best stuff. What are you doing?
Just killed last week.
This is a bad baby I got right here.
Man. What is the best for you, James?
Is that it, people like to make
yeah.
laugh.
Yes.
You know, women are always fun.
Are they now?
They are. Yeah.
Interesting.
In so what situation?
At a comedy club.
All right.
As they're on dates.
It's not fun when we have someone that does this. Like, if I make that person laugh, I just feel like I've worked my way up a bat. Oh, they cross their arms across their chest.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they
you know.
Are just stone cold, not going to participate in any way whatsoever. I don't know.
So if you get a hater to change sides, that's actually the most rewarding
always,
for you.
That's pretty rewarding.
Got it.
But that is funny. I've been, and I'm sure you have too, like when you're performing at a club or somewhere and things are going well, but there's one person for what is not reacting at all, and that's all you can fixate on.
And stop it. I will not let it happen to you again. You shall look past that person.
I can.
That's their choice to not enjoy.
I'll just stop going to shows, James.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, why is Craig so unhappy?
We are never getting to the seven facts about Ireland.
We're never
going to
do it.
Okay, so let's, you know what? If we can't do it later, let's at least start on St. Patrick's Day right now. It is now.
It is after midnight, yeah.
St. Patrick's Day. As
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Some JMO if you need it. Anybody, just saying. Get whatever you need. So the story of St. Patrick. St. Patrick wasn't even born in Ireland, but you should already know that. No, you shouldn't know that. He was living in Scotland, possibly Wales, and was kidnapped at the age of 16 by Irish raiders and sold as a slave. He spent years in Ireland herding sheep until he escaped. He eventually returned to Ireland where he spread Christianity. So there you go, first St. Patrick. He was not born. I don't know why that's important. Do you need to know? Right. I thought he was a Christian Catholic sort of, you know, spreading.
It's not a story that makes you want to party.
No.
He was captured as a slave.
The best and smallest parades. There are many parades commemorating the day, including New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, which started in 1762. That's before we were really a country. We weren't even free from the hold of Britain.
Right. King George.
The shackles. I was going to say shackles, and it seemed too hard, and I went with shackles. I was holding back from
you
shackles.
You made a gesture, though.
And it seemed a little adult topic.
I'm just sitting on my hands, and I don't know why I'm doing that, because all I want to do is my Irish accent, and I'm not going to do it.
I need to hear
you
it.
You guys, not
by contrast, the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin was not held until 1931.
Oh.
Right? Huh. So we actually celebrated this before, way before Ireland did. The shortest parade is in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where the parade covers 98 feet of Bridge Street, which was named the shortest street in everyday use by Ripley's, believe it or not. I don't know why we... So, that's what that was. So, St. Patrick, so what do you know? What is your familiarity with St. Patrick? What was his big thing? His big...
Oh, man.
Piece of fame?
Craig?
Esmeralda, anybody?
He did lots of shots.
There it is.
Oh, yes. I thought he did lots of shots of James.
St. Patrick the Exterminator. He drove the snakes out of Ireland, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we'd heard before. That's what I heard growing up. By the way, Declan is the second most common name in Ireland.
Really?
And it's because St. Patrick was all blah, blah, blah with the snakes.
I was a paragraph off on Wikipedia when you asked that question.
So legend has it that St. Patrick ran all the snakes, by the way, also toads, I had not heard that part, out of Ireland. It doesn't sound very saintly for him to be an exterminator. It turns out there's not much truth. Really? That's surprising. Drove all the snakes out of Ireland.
There's no truth to that.
Yeah. They didn't have snakes at all. They did not. There were, because of its glacial history, right? Because of the temperature in Ireland, it's not possible for snakes or toads to have been there in the first place. Also, Ireland has only one species of toad, so that's the only one that survived the glacial period. Technically, St. Patrick chased away symbolic snakes, so he wasn't like, well, not snakes per se,
right,
but people who were snaky.
It's what we do every day.
Since the slithering creatures often refer to pagan religious practices or beliefs. And by the way, the pagans are very popular in Ireland. I think they've done a good job of sort of holding their own when it comes to also, you know, just
holidays
hello.
In general.
I'm saying a leprechaun. Yeah.
Right.
That's a little, I'm going to say it's a little pagan. We'll be more pagan-y when we come back. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am joined by comedian James Vickery, who is appearing at the Zanies in Rosemont next week. So come back next week.
Absolutely.
And we'll have some fun then, too.
Yes.
Todd Belcour, always fun when you're in studio with you. What, you can't hear anything? I can't help you with that. What?
There's not much I can add, though.
Wait, hold on a second. What? You can talk, but what can't you hear? You can't hear yourself? You can't hear the show? What can't you hear?
All of the above.
That's it. What?
Perfect.
All right. I like Bill and Wendy. I like to push buttons. That's their promo all day. Todd Belcour is our friend who is an adjunct professor at Northwestern Law and is also one of the creators of Social... Tell me.
The Chicago International Social Change Film Festival and executive director of Social Change.
You can see why I don't remember that title, right? Come closer to the microphone a little bit right there.
It's a mouthful.
Get all up in there. Yeah, it's a lot. Is there, you know, an acronym or nothing yet?
We do. It's SISIF. It's very swanky. That's right.
I like it.
very West Coast. But CISCFF.
And the Twitter handle for that?
Is CISCFF.
So you say it over and over again, and people will find it.
I'm hoping.
I'm saying.
But this is the only Chicago International Social Change Film Festival in the galaxy. So
he may talk faster than I do. Is it possible? Why are they? Oh, we're doing a selfie. They're doing a selfie outside of the Showcase
selfies.
Studio. Yeah, wait, hold on a second. There are people outside the Showcase
Studio.
Can
they still hear us?
No, they can't. Unfortunately, after midnight.
Maybe they went to the Blackhawk game and they're like, oh, let's take a picture of the radio
they
station.
They definitely went
they're
to the Blackhawks game.
They're wearing green Blackhawks jerseys, and I feel bad because the Blackhawks lost tonight. And
sorry about that.
Nick D says this is the absolute worst time to implode. So that's word to the Blackhawks. Don't implode. No, stop imploding, all right?
Well, they have time to get their momentum before the playoffs begin.
Well, there you go. Look at Todd Belcore.
You do it all.
Yeah, we do primaries. He's like, they got time. Relax, everybody.
I am a Chicagoan. You can't be.
I do social justice and Blackhawk Scout. No.
I'm sorry. I'm waving goodbye to our friends, our fans. Thank you.
Like, all right, that's good.
Thank you. I hope the Blackhawks do better. So, Todd, you were out very early in the day yesterday. You even posted that you don't like getting up early in the morning, but when it comes to your civic duty. And your interest in politics and participation in the American culture, you were there.
That's right.
What did you do? You got up at what, 3 a.m, 4 a.m?
You know, I got up at 4. I went to bed around 1:30. I was just concerned.
Wow.
You were concerned? Why? Well, if you were so concerned, why'd you go to bed earlier?
Well, I was nervous because I was really supporting a couple of the candidates, with full disclosure, and
you were nervous.
Significant work.
That's how invested you were, that you were nervous about the outcome of the...
I was.
And that's amazing.
And I knew I needed to wake up early to fight the voter suppression efforts that we knew would take place as a
what
virtue.
Suppression? So now let's, before we go on to that, because there were some videos posted on Facebook, an audio posted of people who showed up at the polls who were told, hey, you know what? I know you're going to vote Democrat, but take this Republican ballot and vote against Trump.
Mm.
Or, I mean, there were different things happening at different polling places, and it was smaller. But now that we have our phones, people are immediately, when they realize what's happening to them, to their rights as voters, they're absolutely making sure they have a record of it.
That's right.
So what kind of suppression were you expecting?
Well, it's amazing, as you're alluding to, how much better people act when there's video.
Yeah.
Because then people are much less likely to carry on with other shenanigans that they thought they'd be able to get away with
originally. Well, it is St. Patrick's Day, so shenanigans are expected.
Did you like that usage there?
I did enjoy it tremendously. Even.
Scaring the snakes away. You know?
So you think part of it is that we will hold you accountable and we will post it.
That's right. So not only is there evidence that's easier to tabulate, but you can then just get to your phone. I'm sorry, do you mind repeating that? I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. I need to be doing
it. Right. But. And do that, everybody. Your phone, even if you don't know where those buttons are or where that app is, just tell them, please say that again. Or just call your voicemail and say, please say that into my phone. I'm all about using my phone for recording evidence. I am, for photos. Here's the thing. I don't only take selfies. It's also to identify people.
I like it.
It's just helpful.
So I was serving as an election protection poll watcher. So when issues were arising at the
polls. Do you have an acronym for that? election
protection. F-U.
E-P-W. Election protection
poll watcher. Okay. Yeah. The idea being, when issues arise at the polls, people call into some general hub, the Board of Elections or otherwise, and they notify one of the lawyers who are approximate to rush to the scene to try to figure out what's going on.
They have emergency lawyers on call?
That's right.
Wow.
What?
That's right. Great to know. That makes me feel so much better about democracy, for real.
But how do we know? You didn't tell us that. You were here last week and you didn't say, hey, if you see suspicious behavior, call us. That seems like important information
to have.
You should
have given out your cell phone number.
Yes. By the way, Todd Belcore can be reached at. Okay, so, all right, fine. The primaries passed yesterday.
That's right.
We have several months before we gear up again for the fall elections. So how do people report any suspicious behavior?
Well, they call in to whatever local office they're familiar with, whether it be an alderman or otherwise.
But we're not familiar with any of those. So be familiar when you go.
Yeah, 311 Board of Elections, and then they transfer the calls out accordingly.
Can you call 311 real quick? Here's our wake-up call right now. Call 311. I want to ask. I'm serious. Ask them if they can go on the air. Because
I
want to know.
I should also add, there should be poll watchers at every location who then serve as nonpartisan individuals who can remark on what's taking place.
Okay.
But there's so many precincts, it's impossible to have sufficient poll watchers for all the actual locations.
But I'm going to guess that 311 isn't going to know how to handle suspicious polling.
No, but you say.
That's why we're calling 311. He's telling
But it'd
them
be great if they know just to go to that.
Yeah.
But do they?
I don't know. But do they? Were people at 311, Craig, this is what I want to know. Were they trained to handle suspicious behavior at the polling places?
They're not sleuthing, but they'll at least give you the information.
I'm calling 911.
Do they know what to do?
I was just told by 311 that this is police non-emergency, the phone line, and they do not do radio interviews.
No, that's appropriate.
Well, that's
call them back. Okay. Sorry. And ask them, was that person trained? Don't tell where you're calling from. By the way, I saw something suspicious yesterday. Should I have called you? Try that one.
Okay.
All right. Not on the air.
Talking to the same person.
Am I going to be really ambiguous about it?
No, yes. I didn't just call you. I
think I saw something suspicious at my voting place yesterday. What do I do
about
that?
Yeah, cool. That part was because I didn't, the first time through, I was just going to say I saw something suspicious. Should I have told you guys?
Someone told me to take this ballot, not the other one. I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah, but what we were seeing happen.
I'm sorry, Todd's like, I didn't mean to like out 311, but I'm just curious if they actually would be able to be proactive in the situation.
Well, that's what I was trying to communicate. It's not the only strand of communication available. There are people on site who are tasked exclusively with making sure they're watching out so they can then pass it along to attorneys when there are issues that arise.
Who? Because there was some guy with no shoes on at my place.
That's
not kidding.
Still be reputable.
James, at your polling place, James, tell
maybe
Todd.
Maybe it was the bartender. I did vote at a bar on the south side of Chicago. It was open, running bar near Midway, and
that's a one-stop shop.
So who is their election polling watcher suspicious behavior guy?
So they have judges, right? So
yes.
They're supposed to be impartial, and then they see issues that consistently happen.
Yes.
With ballots, technical, otherwise, they let people know.
I will say that at my polling place in the 30th precinct, they seemed to be very impartial. They were very friendly. Mm-hmm. I've seen things in the past that have made me have to step up and help out a little bit in my own role as a citizen. We had this is my story from the primary for the governor. There was a woman in our precinct who had finished voting, and she was older, and she started leaving the building. We were at the Farnsworth grade school, and they were all behind the table going, oh, her ballot's invalid.
And
they were all standing there, and they weren't going to do anything. And I was like, she had a cane. She was in her 80s. She hasn't gotten that far.
Yeah.
But they were gonna throw away her ballot.
And why did they not figure that out until after she departed? It takes her long enough to leave.
This is what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So I had to go and follow her. She was at her car. It was dusk, and I told her what had happened. And she just sighed, and she said she had only had enough time before the sun went down. She can't drive at night. She was going to go vote and then go grocery shopping. She had no food in her fridge. But when I told her they were going to throw her ballot away, she turned around. She walked back into the building and completed her ballot. She had been a paralegal. She had worked at City Hall.
Oh, wow.
And knew many of the politicians in the city of Chicago, had raised her children, raised several, she was invested and devoted to voting. But that was the thing, was that they could have left behind that little folding table and been like, excuse me.
Yeah.
But they were all arguing with each other. So who would I call and say, hey, they don't seem to know quite how this should go in this situation.
Well, I don't know if you heard. I mean, some of the election judges were being tossed out because they were drunk. They were falling asleep. I mean, the shoeless person is the least of the transgressors.
No, he was very sweet.
Wasn't one of them one of the election judges was, running for something? That's what I heard, that one of them got kicked out for.
I heard Bill Clinton showed up at a polling place.
Yeah, yes. I heard about that too.
Yeah. So is it that he was campaigning, or that his very presence is sort of a tone of campaigning?
We're not allowed to do any electioneering within a certain proximity.
Right.
But just his presence is sufficient, clearly.
Right.
I mean, that's
inappropriate.
MFing President Clinton. So people know who he is.
I'm assuming it wasn't his place.
And they know who he's supporting. So it's a reminder.
Can I ask a dumb question?
No dumb questions.
There's no dumb questions.
No, don't ask me dumb questions.
Okay.
No such thing.
I was taken aback by the fact, and I feel like this was the first time, but I could totally be wrong, and I have not researched this. But I was asked if I was Democrat or Republican.
Oh, okay. So that's a great question.
Okay.
Todd, please hold your answer until after this break. More after on 720 WGN. Right. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're all a little curious here in the Showcase studio, Craig, because you were on the phone for a few minutes. Was it pertinent to our conversation?
Well,
or was it otherwise?
Well, a caller called in, and I will make sure that I don't blame the wrong person here. He said that there was a Fox News piece of audio that he saw that had Joe Biden saying that in an election year, you should prevent the nomination of a Supreme Court justice.
We haven't gotten to the SCOTUS conversation.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that conversation yet. But he said that he saw some footage on Fox News that has this idea from Biden. Well, but I just want to say that there's actually already a response to this on the internet of the actual audio and not the edit Fox did. And that is not what he said.
I don't even know where to begin because we have not gotten to this part of the conversation.
Correct.
But so here we are.
That's the call.
We can only talk about one thing at a time.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised. Also, the national color of Ireland is green, but St. Patrick's color is blue. So anyway.
Is that a fact?
It's a fact.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how I can have two conversations at the same time. Also, possibly four.
Checkmate.
Todd Belcour, who is an adjunct professor at Northwestern Law, posted earlier today that he was disappointed with President Obama's selection for the next Supreme Court justice.
Interesting.
Or at least his nomination. And I'm not sure why the caller jumped in. I guess because we were teasing that we were talking about SCOTUS?
No.
No?
Not yet. No. Not yet. Maybe it's the foreshadowing.
Maybe he just saw this on Fox and Joe Biden, and he had words to use and wanted to put them
here. Yeah, I think he just wanted it. So that's why I didn't put him on the air, though.
Yeah, no, that's fine. okay, so there's so much to deal with right now.
Talking about the primary voter suppression.
Juliana Stratton, that's exciting.
It is. It is. She won by a very considerable margin. I think a lot of people were shocked. Certainly the presidential endorsement in the waning days of the campaign really helped sway a lot of things.
But not the use of a puppet in Ken Duncan's campaign? It was a cute puppet. It was kind of a, would you say it was a Cocker Spaniel puppet? Or was it more of a, I don't know, it was cute. It was a cute little, bah, bah, and, you know, it was well done. That wasn't enough? The $5 million puppet?
All the stops were pulled out.
Oh, what
no
did
question.
I do right there? That no. was. There was money pouring into the campaign, James. Mm-hmm. This is a primary that was contentious because Ken Duncan, who is a Democrat of the 5th District in the bit of the South Side, mm-hmm. I met him last year. He was one of the. Actually, I believe Todd, you might have been the one that told me to go talk to him instead of Ives. You may have sent me in his direction. Okay. So either way, I was kind of being punked by all the people that were down there.
No,
a little bit, a little bit.
He's boisterous, but he cares.
I saw the puppet ad, by the way.
He had some negatives that were worth reporting on. I think more of the things
he said. She was a puppet of Rahm's. Was mm-hmm. it? Yes.
Of Rahm's, I think that's a bit rough. I could see the accusation she made about Rahner, but mm-hmm. still, either way. She was a better candidate, and she won.
To make sure people know what we're talking about, Ken Duncan has voted against many of the bills that were presented by the Democrats, including the millionaire tax, the maintaining of the original tax hike, which expired earlier in the spring of 2015, and he did not show up to one of the votes in the fall. So when people say, well, why doesn't if Madigan wants a budget, but why? By the way, the Democrats have passed a budget. It has not been... It has not been approved by the Executive Office of Illinois.
That's right. The governor's vetoed it, and then there's not enough votes to overcome the veto within the House.
Including the fact that Duncan, Drury, and Franks do right. not vote on the Democratic side. So Duncan's one of the votes that will now will be replaced by Stratton. But there's still another 8 months because she has to run. I'm being presumptuous because she still has to run against the Republican candidate if they put one up in that area.
Yeah, they will, but she will win. You're right.
Oh, yeah. He's so confident.
I know.
She will win. Also, Kim Fox won against Anita Alvarez. Was that one? Oh,
pretty handily.
That was a little bit of a, I don't know. Well, it wasn't even a fist bump. It wasn't really a dance. It was just
kind of like excited shimmy. Mm-hmm.
Can we put excited shimmy on our podcast by any chance? James is coming to the Funyuns, I believe, over.
Yes.
Death by Funyuns.
Death by Funyuns.
You need a lozenge
it's
there?
A happy way to go.
Yeah, do you want some water? I apologize.
I got a Luden's.
Ooh, those are the best ones for radio.
They're so good.
I've had bronchitis for 9 weeks, so I'm fine. Okay. That's good.
Is it still bronchitis? For,
it doesn't go away.
It seems like it's graduated to another illness. After a while.
Yeah, you should probably go back to the doctor immediately.
I'm trying to find my. I usually have Luddin's in my makeup kit, but I only have a tampon. Which, by the way, no more luxury tax.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever.
All right then. All right.
That's a hell of a lozenge.
It really is. Oh, he just threw that at
I know,
you.
It hit me.
If you go to WGNradio.com, you can see all the antics of what we have in our belongings. Apparently, tampons and lozenges. More after this on 720 WGN. Craig.
Yeah, Patty.
You know not to play songs that just make me get up and start dancing.
This one's fun, though.
You've never played this on my show before.
No?
Nope.
Wow.
I would remember.
Well, you're going to get a lot more Mambo number 5.
Can I get Mambo number 6?
I don't know if he did that.
No. Yeah. I'm a little sad. I would hope for. I want a sequel.
Why mess with perfection?
Yeah, just seriously. There. A little bit of Monica in my life. How do you rewrite that song?
Thank you for never doing the Macarena. I appreciate that. Although also
that's
catchy.
That's coming next.
Look out.
Now this is going to be fixed.
Todd Belcourt, I didn't mean to leave your microphone off. By the way, you have control over that. Do you see your see the button? That's
I
on
do
right
see
now?
It. I just so try not to take liberties in someone else's show.
Take liberties. Too much, James?
No,
too much.
Too much.
Too much. We were mentioning a while ago, James asked about the fact that he had never been asked whether or not he was pulling a Democratic or yes. a Democrat or a Republican ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Or, by the way, nonpartisan or independent. There were actually 4 ballots.
Oh,
this
interesting.
Year. So you were not offered the. I
no, they just
correct.
Said they asked me Democrat or Republican.
No, there were 4. So you should have been offered independent, nonpartisan, Democrat or Republican.
Interesting.
And the only reason I know that is because I made them go through the entire table of ballots. But only because I was like, they were so loud about it.
Yes.
Todd, they were like, so what are you going to be, Democrat or Republican?
I know.
I like Minchip.
Right.
You got any Chunky Monkey back there? Yeah, why? I don't remember ever to your point,
and they're
point,
different
James.
Colors, too. So if you walk around with a ballot, people can tell.
Yeah, they can. So it seemed a little like putting a target on yourself.
I don't remember it. And yeah.
No. I think it's because this seems to be much more volatile this year. And it's almost like the judges, what are they called behind the table?
Yeah, election judges.
They seem to want to like make you prove something. A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely be viewed as intimidation.
So,
if you're in a mostly Democratic area and then you have to declare that you're something other, people look at you like, what?
Or if you're a Republican and you want to know where all your liberals are.
You do exist in Cook County, and it's problems.
Right.
So isn't there a more discreet way to ask you which ballot? So, James, it's because the primaries, you have to vote a straight ticket.
Right.
I mean, you have choices on that ticket, but you had to choose whether or not you're voting for the Democrat nominees or the Republican.
You should be able to like scribble on a bar napkin and hand that over and then tell them.
Well, it is because as I understand it, weren't there some people that were independent that wanted to vote for, say, Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump that couldn't?
No, you couldn't. That's
James,
it.
Are you really confused by independent there?
I am.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's some people that are independent, I guess.
Do you know how many candidates there were on the nonpartisan ballot? 2. Of anything. No, you couldn't vote for judges.
Right.
You could not vote for water reclamation. You could not vote for anything except for, I don't even know. I should have taken a picture because you're not supposed to, but they didn't know that. I asked them to take a picture and they're like, I don't know. So I should have done it just so I could remember what those names were and what it was for.
I went complete guess on water reclamation. I feel bad about that.
Oh,
like,
I
researched the judges thing. I researched everything, but then I was taken aback by the water people.
Did you go, I like this name?
I kind of went names. I went,
gender?
Can I tell you honest what I did? I went women.
312-981-7200. In the absence of knowledge, what did you use to determine the person you voted for? Was it gender? Was it ethnicity? Was it easily pronounced names?
I did skip stuff. Is that okay? Like if I really didn't know anything.
They
I
should
did
ask
just...
you when you're done,
really?
Though, if you meant to skip that.
I wonder.
Did they ask you?
Well, I did an electronic one, so there was no conversation.
Yeah. If you do a paper one, they ask you if you've intentionally undervoted.
Yeah,
which instance you have an opportunity to either override that and allow your existing votes to maintain or to change whatever absences you have.
I didn't get that question.
And you undervoted?
No, but, you know, you'd think they would ask everybody.
No, only if you undervote. So that means if you left, if you left anything blank. Otherwise, it meant that your ballot was completely valid. Like, everything on there was appropriately filled out.
Oh, but you think they would ask you because what if people are just like, what? No, I just left that one blank.
Did you leave anything blank?
No, I didn't. But you know what I mean. Like, no, but I'm just saying if people don't know.
Well, how do you know they haven't asked if that didn't happen to you?
Yes.
Because nobody asked if I did. If
but
I
you
did
didn't.
Or not.
But you didn't.
But
I did, but I didn't tell them that.
No, but okay.
No, the machine triggers
it. Oh, okay. Well, then say that.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You're right. We let that.
I thought they were just like taking it and that was that.
No, they slide it into that slot.
Right.
And then they just go, here you go. And they gave me that receipt.
Yes.
Then it just hold it away like, did you really do it all?
Do over. So you slide it in there and it scans, right? And if there's anything missing, then they ask you. But if it all registers that you voted for every single category, then you won't be asked that question.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just went, I was like, I trust women more, and I went with that.
Okay.
In absence of, I did research. Yeah, in absence of any sort of knowledge.
I mean, frankly, I mean, there's a lot to that. There's some people actually change their names when they run for office.
Irish names,
that's
yes.
Right. So they may have a greater likelihood of catching up.
Is it always Irish they choose?
For judges, it's odd. That is the common denominator.
It's been 150-some years since Irish ran the city. I mean, like, we still do. Right. I say we as Patty Vasquez. But I was asked to change my name. Even as a performer, people told me to change my name because my actual last name is an Irish name, but I chose my mother's maiden name because I like the way Patty Vasquez sounds. It sounds Irish and Mexican.
It's a good decision.
It should reflect
and
me.
And it looks all Italian.
Right.
All right.
When in doubt.
When in doubt. All right. Let's go to – we have some callers. And I promise you we'll talk about the campaigning, about the presidential election as well. But Tom wanted to share his thoughts on what happened on voting. Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. You know, listen, you were talking earlier about what you do when you're in a polling place. And the judges are socially inept. All you got to do is call the Board of Elections. And seriously, they are open all day during – and they're very, very – amenable to answering any of your questions, because what's happening, this is the greatest fall off of election judges in Cook County in many, many years. So we're, you know,
you mean as far as like knowledge and being able to manage the situation?
Yeah, because there's no ward organizations anymore. They're gone.
That's a good point. Because when I was a kid, my dad was a precinct captain, and I remember my dad going out and meeting everybody and having meetings and getting together. You're right about that.
No, there isn't. So that's who ran the election judges. And you know, and if you're, and you know, if you don't want to, you know, vote a straight Democratic Party ticket, if you want to bounce around, you can't. You've got to wait till the general election.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
You got to go straight ticket. What were the nonpartisan nominees? Do you know what that was? That was a very short ticket.
There was two people on it. And, you know, I think Dog Catcher and, somebody, you know.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody that could spell Cook County. And that was about it.
Yeah.
It's deplorable, though. I mean, I feel sorry for the people that don't have any representation.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Board of Elections. So the Board of Election Commissioners for City of Chicago are on Washington Street. And so, I mean, like, I wouldn't know how to call them. So this is what we're going to do.
They're listed. Yeah. They're listed. I think it's 312-269-6900.
You think it is. You sound very confident about that number, 312-269.
I think it is. You can look it up.
But there's also signage at the actual location.
Yeah, there's a signage. So you just call that number. So even if you're in the suburbs, you can call the Cook County Board of Elections because they're all in the same building. They're right there.
Right.
And, you know,
you're right. It's 269-7900. I'm calling them right now. I don't know if they'll answer. I doubt that anybody.
I was close.
The mailbox is full, and no one is available to take the call
Wow. Yeah, that's why the election's over. So none of those guys are going to work.
But the mailbox is full, which means that people still had some questions even afterwards.
Yeah. But on election day itself, they've got about 40 or 50 people answering phones.
All right. So for future reference, everybody, it is 312-269-7900. And coming up to the next election, we will be much more vocal about that, and you should look for signage. Tom, that was very helpful, and I appreciate your passion about that.
Anytime, darling. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. All right. We've got we have D on the line. Hey, D, what are your thoughts on voting?
Hey, I mean, you don't want to know.
Yes, we do. Honestly, that's why we took your call.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. Well, when I went, I'm a voter in Kendall County. I went up and they asked me what ticket I wanted. And I said, what are my options? And they said, Democratic or Republican. And I laughed. And I said, those are my only options. And they said, yes.
No.
I thought you were able to vote across party lines.
No.
During primary, but I must have been mistaken. So,
but there should have been four ballots. There should have been independent, nonpartisan, Republican, and Democrat.
Yeah, I was hoping for nonpartisan, but apparently that wasn't an option in Kendall County.
But you would have only had, and the nonpartisan, because I asked the same question, because I would have been curious because you and I think, Tom, D, I think that we would have thought, well, nonpartisan means I haven't declared a party. I kind of want to see all of my options.
Right.
But that's not what nonpartisan
means. That's
weird.
Yeah, I think the dog catcher ran unopposed, too.
I believe so, too. Yeah, there were.
I also asked about, there's the little old nice lady that, walks you over to where you stick your ballot into the voting machine. And I asked her, when did the voting machines arrive here? Who dropped them off? And, what is the actual... I like to know stuff.
Okay.
I also asked, what's the corporation that, essentially builds the machines? It took...
D, are you watching?
People.
Are you watching Good Wife? Because I think you're learning some of this.
I'm not.
I'm not.
I'm trying to be informed as much as I possibly can.
You'd be surprised. Good Wife has a lot of this stuff on there.
Yeah.
There's voter fraud. There's the ballot boxes that are supposed to be sealed and they're not. But no, D, I love that you're asking questions. And I think, did you know the number for the election, the Board of Elections? So that if there's
they referred me to. They gave me the number to the Kendall County Clerk's office, and then finally they put me directly to her, and then she was gracious enough to actually answer all my questions. But it took a while to actually get the questions answered.
That's good. Ask questions. We were talking about this earlier. What can we do? And I think, Dee, you're there. You're asking questions and wanting to be involved and know how this all works. Do you think you would want to be an election judge next time?
I honestly, after this whole clown circus of whatever we call our politics, I'd like to get more involved in civics.
I was kind of in that
when I was in high school and whatnot, and it's about time to get back into it, I feel.
We just signed you up for an election judge. So
yeah, we have your number, and we already registered you. Now, D,
well, I appreciate it.
No, that's inspiring, and we want to hear back from you and see what you're up to and how you've been more involved. Will you check in
for
with
sure.
us? All right, great.
Yes, of course. Appreciate it.
Thank you, D. All right. You know what? Give him the Apt Electronics card. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics. D, hold on the line, and Craig will get your information about that. Hey, Tim, how are you doing?
Hi. When I vote in elections, if they're contested races, I always vote in all the contested races.
Okay.
But if a candidate is running unopposed, unless I feel real strong about that candidate, in which case I connect the dots, make the line and vote for that person, I often leave those blank because I feel that, they're going to vote for themselves and that makes them win and I don't need to give them a mandate.
Right.
You know?
It's already automatic. Sure.
Right. So my understanding in the past had been that when you put the ballot in the counter, and if it tells you that you've undervoted, it only tells you that if you've undervoted in contested races. If you've left the uncontested races blank and didn't vote, it doesn't bother to tell you that. But yesterday, when I put my ballot in and I double-checked that I voted in all the contested races that I wanted to, I was told, you undervoted. And I said to the election judge, I said, well, I voted in all the contested races. Is it telling me that because I left some of the uncontested blanks, or is it perhaps not reading one of the races that I voted in? And she says, no, I think you're good. And so I said, okay, just override it.
Well, here's what I think, because I had two reps in my studio last night who were both uncontested, Representative Feigenholz and Representative Martwick, and they were still especially Martwick was kind of interested to see what the turnout was and how many people filled that in. So my guess is maybe they have changed that so that there is a count of people who are actually still confirming they want that elected official in office.
I noted in looking at election results last night online that they listed on the web, they were listed on some of the websites for the election authorities, number of registered voters in a particular election available for that district, number of ballots cast, and then obviously the number of votes for each candidate. So, but of course, that's part of why I sometimes leave it blank, too, because I want my representatives to know that, well, it's not automatic,
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that's why probably that it registered.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering is whether that has changed. And if, in fact, not casting a vote in an uncontested race will ring up as undervote, or if perchance maybe one of the votes that I was casting in one of the contested races.
Oh.
Somehow I didn't quite connect the dots, or something happened, and that vote didn't get cast.
Right, good question. Right, should you have gone over your ballot, like, line by line to make sure everything you wanted to
And I did, and I did, but, you know, that's what concerned me, because it when it's said undervoted, it's like, well, I don't think that should be. And, you know, but so that's why I'm wondering is if perhaps your guests know if that has changed. Or if I can, where can I find out if that has changed?
Where can you find out, Todd?
The Board of Elections would certainly be the place to go for that information.
Board of Elections. And they have a, just Google them and you'll get all the information you need, including their website and their phone number. Right now, their voicemail box is full, but I'm sure they'll catch up very soon. It's true. I just try calling it.
I'd have to be the person that has to listen to all those voicemails.
Right.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll call next week.
All right. Well, let us know if you find out any information, Tim. Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you so much. We will finally, I think, get to the nomination that President Obama has presented for the next Supreme Court justice. We have Rich Lenkoff on the line after this on 720 WGN. Even when you can't be there, they are. It's Chicago Tribune Sports Plus with more coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now at ChicagoTribune.com/SportsPlus.
I am not trying to do
this. As much as we hate this, everyone in the studio is dancing right now. Everyone.
Yeah.
How can
that's
you not?
Right, actually.
You're trying not to.
I'm embarrassed. I just lost a little bit of my black card right there.
A little bit. Just me.
Hey, Macarena.
You got a big black card. So, Craig, we were talking earlier about the elections. And when they asked you which ballot you wanted, it was kind of a tense moment because it felt personal.
It really did.
We've all been raised that your vote, you know.
It was weird. It was like if they ask
private,
you, like, do you watch porn or no? And you, like, look around.
Well, and everybody else pretty much gave the same answer before you.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
Define porn.
Well, I got all weird. I was like, excuse me?
Yes.
What? What do you need?
Yeah.
No?
It seemed more aggressively asked this time.
Why can't we take one?
Yeah, Todd. Why can't we just take our ballot? Like, discreetly as
because if you still have to turn it in to somebody.
Well, I think the election judges feel they have some obligation to make sure you're clear on what's in front of you. They are entitled to make sure they're walking people through their process and that they're instructed explicitly to do so. Being loud as heck saying, Republican or Democrat, I can see that would be uncomfortable in a certain neighborhood. So.
I don't know anyone right now across the board, all four of us. Uncomfortable with how and we voted nowhere near each other.
There was a texter.
Right, there's all different parts of the city. That's
yeah,
really funny.
South, mm-hmm. Northwest, North, and mm-hmm. North. Yeah,
there was a text that said the reason that they do that is to prevent fraud.
Todd,
what kind of fraud? Kind of.
I'm unclear as to how that.
Right. Yeah.
I added a question mark to the text. It didn't have one. But
fraud.
Yeah. Not to fraud?
Yeah. Okay. Just fraud.
So the turnout yesterday was remarkable for several reasons, but one of which was that it seems that there may have been Democrats who asked for a Republican ballot in order to help vote against Trump.
I've heard that.
Right. But the thing is that Bernie Sanders only lost, and I say only because he won outside of Chicago. He won many of the polling places outside of Chicago. He lost by 20,000 votes. So, Todd, you wanted to talk a little bit about this, didn't you, a little bit? About
always.
This situation and the turnout for that.
Well, I think in the effort for some Democrats to make sure that Trump was at the top of the ticket on the Republican side, there's some...
They voted for him?
There's a movement for people to pick a Republican ticket, even though they're Democrats,
Wait,
to vote
they
for
wanted
him.
To assure that Trump would be the candidate.
That's right.
Okay.
Really?
I don't understand. Okay.
Well,
all right.
That's exactly
thinking that
the beginning end of it. The idea of, you know, he creates enough momentum, wins in the state that it may be close, and then he'll be more likely to be the nominee who will make the whole party easier to beat. But the problem with that logic is twofold. One, you're voting for Trump, and you may not agree with his politics, so you shouldn't vote for people you don't agree with.
Don't do that. Vote your heart.
Right.
Although your heart's telling you to cheat. Not cheat, but lie. lie. I mean, you're lying. When you ask, when you believe the principles of being a Democrat or Republican, but you ask for the opposing party's ticket so that you can somehow work or game the system, yeah. you're lying to yourself and to.
But what if you feel most passionately about not having Trump on a ballot? Like, if that, because we all
then
vote based on
passion. Encourage the people in your life and get out there and knock on doors and have conversations and be the most, I guess, peaceful. Sharer? I don't know. What to,
well,
I don't know.
I think there is
don't,
something to what he's saying, though. Like, for example, I know a lot of people.
We're never getting to Lenkov, by the way. Just tell him.
I appreciate candidates of all sizes. So in all sizes. Excuse me. sizes. I particularly prefer the plus size candidates. Christie was one of my favorites. But no, jokes aside, I like, for example, Dillard versus Rauner. I know a lot of people who like Dillard. Who weren't Republicans who voted for Dillard because they thought he'd be a much better person for the party, standard bearer, maybe possible governor than Rauner.
Okay.
So I could see the logic in doing that, is what he's saying. Sometimes people may prefer a Republican candidate, even though they're not Republican, they still would rather have a different person be a possible president.
You get one vote. You get a vote, yeah, and it should reflect what you want in your vote and not some sort of scheme.
Don't overthink it, yeah.
You don't trade your votes. You don't work your votes. You don't... Okay, Shirley, I know you're on the line. Can you ask Shirley? I don't know what to... I want to talk to Shirley, but I've got to do this. More after this on 720 WGN.
What's up, people? It's that time again. WGN, let's join the two friends. Jason Whiteside and Rich Lenkoff. In a legal face-off, hear the knowledge they got. Legal points and counterpoint, Jay, you know the drill. From sports to Hollywood and the politics world. Don't forget to current events that occur. Plus a couple jabs here and there.
You're listening Pretty Late, and that is the theme song for Legal Face Off. You can go to WGNplus.com and hear Rich Lenkoff and some other guy. I really, someday, I swear to God, Rich, I will remember his name, Jason Whiteside, I guess. We're going to have to say it out loud.
He's a myth. He's a figment of our imagination. He's just there to make us sound good.
Do you do I bet you do both voices. There isn't even a Jason Whiteside. He's like, usually like a high-pitched voice, don't you? What was that, Todd?
I do. Sometimes it's like a British Jason Whiteside. Sometimes
It's like the Fight Club version of Law.
I love that. The Fight Club version of Law. The first rule is there is no Jason Whiteside. Rich, you're traveling right now, and so we're grateful for your time. But I saw the news break today that President Obama put forward his nomination for the Supreme Court of the United States. And what were your thoughts on Garland?
Yeah, Merrick Garland, he has been on the short list on the last couple of Supreme Court openings, so not a huge surprise. He was one of the three finalists that was leaked in the last month or so. So we knew that he was in the mix. I was a little surprised that he got the pick just because he is older. He'll be about 10 years older than any nominee in the last 50 years.
What?
Traditionally. Yeah, you know, usually
he's the second oldest nominee ever.
Ever? Really? Second, wait, hold on a second. By the way, Rich Lenkoff, we have in studio with us Todd Belcour, who is an adjunct professor at Northwestern Law.
Hey, counsel.
And the reason we're having this conversation is I saw him post something about his disappointment with this nomination. He just said that this is the second oldest Supreme Court nomination ever. And that seems, what are your thoughts? Do you think that this was a choice because he's a moderate, because he was on the short list, and when he was up for nomination in the D.C. Circuit Court, it was 97-0. So did this seem like a sure deal? And it's kind of a like, here, Republicans, approve of him or be jerks.
How can you argue with this, right?
Right.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, clearly Obama did this strategically. Understanding that McConnell and the rest of the Senate Republicans have said they won't even consider any nominee. You know, Obama clearly is trying to say that this is someone who otherwise would obviously be passed through the Senate, would be affirmed pretty regularly. He's moderate. You know, Orrin Hatch, who is one of the more senior members of the Judiciary Committee, has come out repeatedly and endorsed him. So, yeah, if the Republicans won't confirm Merrick Garland, who would they confirm? So that's the idea behind his nomination. But, traditionally you would want someone who's younger, who could stay on the court a little longer, maybe someone who's a little more diverse also.
Yeah, that's come up today. Someone told me they were really hoping it would be someone of Asian background. An opportunity was missed there, which may not – by the way, and I don't know how to explain that to our audience. Like, why would that be important, Rich? Why would you? Why would that be something we should take into consideration?
You know, with all the social issues, abortion, crime, death penalty, all the issues that the Supreme Court touches, you obviously want the court to be made up of people who are, you know, as diverse as possible. Traditionally, you've got people on the Supreme Court who are very, male, very white, very East Coast. Traditionally, they have come from a handful of law schools, you know, Ivy League law schools. So a lot of the people who made the short list were more diverse, were younger. There was, you know, a couple of African-Americans. There were some females. There was an Indian-American, Sri Srivastava, who everyone thought was going to be on the, you know, maybe going to be the nominee. So it's important, I think, just like any other body, for the Supreme Court to look like the people that it represents.
Well, that's often the goal, isn't it, in a court case, that you want to have a jury of your peers. Why would you not want to have a Supreme Court justice of your peers? I'm just curious.
I think that's precisely what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think that justice is blind, right? And that the justices, it wouldn't matter what their makeup is, that they would rule simply based on the law and the evidence. But, you know, you certainly want people on the Supreme Court, the highest court of the land, to look like America and to be diverse. You don't want it to be simply the bastion of, you know, old white men.
Or just and also now older white women.
Right.
I love Notorious RBG, but I'm just saying.
So what do you think of this decision? Do you think it was too much of a political risk, Counselor?
Well, it's really interesting because if the Republicans do block him and Hillary Clinton wins, then the Republicans will wish that they had Merrick Garland on the court because, you know, who knows who a Democratic president could nominate. She could nominate someone who is far more liberal than Merrick Garland, who is widely considered to be pretty, you know, pretty moderate, pretty centrist. So if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, then the Republicans could rue the day that they blocked Garland. I think, you know, all things being equal, he seems like, you know, a great judge. We don't know too much about him. That's what hopefully the hearings will reveal. But I think all things being equal, the president made a very calculated political move.
Or is he a placeholder, right? So to say he made a nomination, he's done his job, knowing that Republicans will not have, they won't hold hearings, they won't listen. So is he just putting someone out there to say, well, I've done my part, now they're not doing theirs, and then, you know, move forward and play the political party game?
I think they would say that no matter what, though, right? So no matter who he would put up as a nominee, they would still say, he would still say, I've done my part, and they may say no. I think the biggest risk with this actual nominee is that they say yes.
Oh.
And then they take him, and then we miss the Democratic Party misses a valuable opportunity to have a diverse candidate on there for the next 30 years.
But in comparison with Scalia, isn't it still less conservative than it was before?
They wouldn't be able to find a candidate who would fulfill that sort of qualification.
Interesting. What are your thoughts, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, it's true that you know, you couldn't find anyone who is to the right of Scalia.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to giggle, only, I mean, yes, because I think that if you're not following what the Supreme Court has done for the last 20 years, it is to giggle at that there could be anybody more conservative or even approach the conservative nature of Justice Scalia. He was a bit tight-fisted with his thoughts on what it meant to be a judge.
Yeah, he clung to the 1800s pretty seriously.
Which is, well, 1700s when
I was just going to say 1700s.
That's giving too much credit.
But, Rich, is it possible that this is sort of a just sort of red herring to go, here's this one, and then, you know what, then if you don't like that one, well, here's the one we really wanted. Can it be a psychological sort of warfare?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you would hate to obviously have, you know, this judge in that position as a pawn and you would hate to have Obama yank the rug out from him in a few months. But, you know, it could be. I mean, if what will likely happen is I think the Republicans will delay, you know, as long as they can. They'll drag their feet and they'll wait to see, you know, as they'll wait as close to the election as possible. Ideally, I think they would wait until the election happens and before the new president is sworn in, they would then, you know, hold an up or down vote.
Yeah.
Well, here's what no one's mentioned. And you said that if Hillary becomes president, you know, the Republicans might rue the day. We can't even wrap our minds around any nominees that President Trump might put forward.
Well, okay.
Well,
remember, he's not consulting with anyone. He's consulting with his own brain.
Talking to himself, yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, you don't know if he has a short list or not.
I'm sorry.
Know he has short hands.
We'll all be fine.
No, but and all joking aside, in this situation, though, because now we do have to take like seriously that this might be our president, that he might ascend to that office. We don't even know what that looks like because he doesn't answer the Republican Party. You would think that Mitch McConnell and many of the party leaders would go, maybe we're better off, because they seem to want to distance themselves from Donald Trump.
Well, I know Trump in a couple of debates actually mentioned some candidates that he would use as a replacement for Scalia that were considered generally textualist and that the conservative wing of the party would be okay with. But I think the greater concern, and still and this is where my boat is, I think it's overthinking by the president in this instance, because I think what will happen is I think the Republicans will be willing to buckle in this case and, you know, give this gentleman an opportunity to have a hearing confirmation and then say, see, the president caved to our demands. He knew this is someone we were like. We actually got the person we wanted. Congratulations to us. And then what it does is it deflates the folks from the Democratic base who are excited to have an opportunity to have someone that they could really be excited about and build some momentum behind.
Right.
I think you're right. I think that's true. I think you know, I sort of wish Obama stuck to his guns and said, listen, you know, your argument doesn't hold any weight. It's purely political. And to say that you're not going to consider my nominee simply because, you know, you don't want to is ridiculous. I agree with you. He should have picked who he would have picked anyway, which I think would have been someone younger, someone more diverse. I think he did miss a great opportunity to, you know, leave the court with someone who would be there for, you know, 30 or 35 years. Merrick Garland, you know, even in the best case scenario at 63, you can't expect he'll be on there for, you know, longer than 20 years. So I agree with you. And I think, you know, I think the polls have shown that people are dismissing the Republicans' argument that this should be an electoral issue versus a constitutional pick.
And that was the argument that Todd made earlier, was that he feels like the president's choice has been sort of dictated by others rather than his own beliefs. He let them set the tone rather than setting the tone himself.
So you're allowing the Senate to both choose the nominee and determine whether or not they're confirmed. It shouldn't be both. And that's kind of what he's doing by succumbing to the demands of the Senate.
At least we didn't have a Justice Bork. My husband mentioned this earlier today. By the way, Craig, James, I'm pretty sure Todd too, Rich Lenkov and I might be the only ones who've been like, oh yeah, we might have been a Justice Bork. Do you remember that at all, Rich?
No.
No?
Bork?
Yeah.
I remember the judge.
Do I remember?
It sounds like an inside joke that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, it was. There were some. Here's the thing: is there have been some controversies in the last 40 years, obviously, right? There's a movie coming out called Confirmation that will be very interesting about the confirmation of Clarence Thomas. Mm. So the drama that we are sort of in the middle of now is nothing at the level, because that was sort of salacious, right? There were Coke cans with what on it? Rich, you want to say it or should I?
Well, what time is it? Is it
with bodily hairs on the Coke cans. Those are the kind of hearings that we
can
had
say,
here.
You can say the other
pubic
thing,
hair.
Right? Yeah, pubic hair.
I
just want to make sure.
It was a very strange time. So, I mean, like, that was a bizarre situation, and this is not at that level, but at the same time you're going, but you should be doing your – everyone should be doing their job, and that includes making sure that we have a fully seated bench in the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, I spoke to someone today who had a perspective that the original framers of the Constitution believed that within the process of advised consent could actually include the procedural hurdles of not even allowing a confirmation hearing. which I disagree with vehemently, but I think the point is that some people do believe that they're standing on constitutional grounds when they say that the Senate is permitted to not have a confirmation hearing for a nominee.
Well,
yeah, I've heard that too, and it's ridiculous. I mean, people are arguing that advised consent means that you can advise not to even consider holding hearings. I mean, that's nuts, and it's interesting how, like, you know, a lot of Republicans are strict constructionists, right? When it's convenient for them, right. But when you're reading the words of the Constitution that say advise consent, then you're, you know, reading more into it than the words say. The words say advise and consent. It doesn't say, you know, you can consider that to mean you're not going to even hold a hearing.
I mean, with the reason being, I don't want to. Rich Lenkov, well, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Can you tell us where you are right now? Because we want to wish you a good time wherever you are.
I can. I'm looking out at the Vegas Strip right now. I'm
nice. What side?
That's very good.
Craig, we have to
Which
do a
hotel?
Road trip.
Which
Let's
hotel?
Go
Tell
with Rich.
Some
Rich, can we go with you? On
can we go to Vegas?
Let's go to Vegas.
Let's all go to Vegas.
Vegas.
On right now.
On Rich's dime.
Not right now.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's pretty late Vegas style, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what epitomizes pretty late more than going to Vegas?
I don't think our show is pretty late when it's in Vegas. No. If we're in Vegas broadcasting, that's pretty early.
Never shuts down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I'll tell you that my manager told me one time. Go play the 100 slots for me. He gave me $100, and I kept 80 because I lost the first 20 and got nervous.
You're not made for Vegas.
I'm not made for Vegas. I'm made for people watching. Are you a people watcher or a gambler, Rich?
I am a little bit of a gambler, but I like to watch the sites as well.
Exactly.
Sure. I just have to say out loud that if we go to Vegas as a group, I probably won't produce any shows because I won't leave the gambling table.
I'll be watching you gamble.
Awesome.
Rich Lenkov, thank you so much. Have a good time. And again, bet 20 on the slots for me, and that's all I got. I can't take
got it.
All right, then. Have fun.
Thank you.
Go to WGNplus.com for a legal face-off with Rich Lenkov and, you know, Jason Whiteside. More after this on 720 WGN. Before you go, go, don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go, go. I don't want to miss it when you hit that high. Wake me up before you go, go. Cause I'm not planning on going solo. Wake me up before you go, go. Take me dancing tonight. I want to hit that high. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it is time for our Pretty Late wake-up call. James, you were kind of confused as to why I was reading out loud a phone
yes.
number that seemed very familiar to
very
you.
It's very familiar.
Do you know if there's someone that we know listening to the show right now? Because at the end of the show, every night now, except for Fridays, we have a lot we meant to get mm-hmm. to, but tonight we got to everything. So right now it's time for our wake-up call.
We're going to Midlothian.
Oh,
for the
wrong one. Sorry about that. Can you reset that? Is the phone? Oh, is it ringing? One second. Oh, there it is.
Wow.
So there's a phone ringing right now somewhere in the country.
I'm very curious.
You're very curious to see what's going to happen right
yes.
now. Right, because they may not recognize the phone number. We have called Annabelle Laval from the WGN Morning News team. Also, Marcus Leshock, also from WGN TV.
I think I caught that one.
And we have many numbers. And Todd, someday you can give us a number of someone.
Welcome to Leica Mobile voicemail system.
No. Is there a number on this?
A little anticlimactic.
Let's see. Can we?
This is so...
Is there a number on that thing, or can we just go right to... Do you know, James?
That was right, what you said.
Okay, so... hey! Is that familiar, that outgoing message?
No.
All right, let's try again. Hold on.
All right. So all we're right. leaving a message right now on the
for
wrong
somebody
phone
else?
Number?
Someone
right.
weird.
We're going to Midlothian.
Oh,
for the
my
next
God.
Stop.
I didn't do that. I did not do that.
I sort of love that upbeat Melissa.
I did not
so
do
great.
That.
The number
That's
seems,
a heck of a
oh,
voicemail.
Oh, no, it's, I misdialed it.
Oh.
Look at that.
We're so sorry, whoever you are. It's Pretty Late, Patty Vasquez. We're very sorry if we called you too late.
That's pretty aggressive target marketing by me.
Yeah, it is.
It's also aggressive targeting calls. By Patty Vasquez, isn't it? If yes. we're just calling at random numbers. I would love to be able to call, like, have people submit numbers because they have to be up early in the morning. But then I'm afraid they would just give me someone, like their friend, like a relative, someone they want to
double check. This is the right one.
Right.
Sorry to that other guy.
So we are calling someone right now to see if we can give them a wake-up call and or are they still awake? Or will it go to voicemail?
I know she does have a shoot in the morning.
She has a shoot. Oh, no.
for a good thing.
It's midnight, though, so how early was she going to bed?
I wonder. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll find
for
out.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. She was also in the series Love, wasn't she?
Right.
Hi, this is Kristen McAllister. Leave a message.
Gotta Thanks. Leave a message.
Oh, it's Liv. Hi.
Please record your message.
When
you're
eager.
Recording, you may hang up or press 1.
Hi.
So many options on your outgoing message, Kristen McAllister. Hey, Kristen. Hey, it's Patty Vasquez.
Greg Collins.
Hey, Kristen, it's James Vickery.
Some guy.
Todd Belcourt.
And Esmeralda Leon.
And maybe up in news, you can join us, Vic. I know
you're Vic. Yeah. Say your name.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody. We are leaving a message for Kristen McAllister. This is your wake-up call and or hope you're sleeping well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of fun tonight. James and I hung out. We talked a lot about let's tone down the anger and just get along and hold hands and stuff. We talked about the Supreme Court justice.
And we also have to take another commercial break because we're going to...